Does the law really work the way TV and movies depict? Let's discuss with Christine and Christine.
All right. Hi, everybody. This is Christine Mattis and
Christine Carranza-Hugerski.
And thank you for joining us for episode 9 of our podcast, Law and Pop Culture, where we talk about things that happen in movies and commercials or in articles or in the news or anything that we've seen and seeing. How does that relate to the law? And really answering that burning question, does that really happen? So I'm excited to be here today. And how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Happy Monday to everyone.
I know. We started out with some crazy things at the office, as everything. But you know what? It's typical for a Monday of just little things that always, you know, there's always those unexpected things that you have to deal with. You have to learn how to roll with it. And I keep thinking and dwelling on positivity that, you know, we're able to adjust and we're able to figure out solutions. So hopefully that goes with everybody else. So I hope everybody's Monday is much, much better than ours. Just a little craziness to start the day. It's good. And it's almost Thanksgiving. So I don't know when listeners are going to be listening to this, but I say this every year around the same time every year. How that happened? I can't believe it's happening in 4 days. What's happening? I say it exactly the same time every year.
Right. So every time. And I'm like, oh my goodness, look at the things that I have to cook by.
Now you're having a big crowd for your Thanksgiving, aren't you?
Oh yes, we are. I'm always in charge of the turkey, but that's because we have it right here in New Jersey. My family comes from some parts of Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And we meet at my mother's house, which is here in New Jersey, which is about 20 minutes away from me. So guess who's in charge of most of the bulk of the turkey? I'm not putting my mother
that,
up to that now. She's 69 almost, and I can cook. So I always say, yeah, this is a great idea until the morning of.
I'm always like that.
Sweating and dying. Then I'm like, why did I do this?
everybody. Oh, but it's fun. And it's probably now. You know, I guess people were saying, I've been reading in the news, it's the, you know, now it's like the comeback Thanksgiving after 2 years of probably not as many people and just, you know, just being isolated. So people started traveling last Friday. Like, exactly. That's it. Take off the whole week. Let's just make up from the last 2 years. And just
And that's the whole idea. It's Thanksgiving. We are so grateful to finally be able to see each other without having to put a mask on, without having to worry about not enough flights, you know, not even being able to get on a flight because you have to worry about what the rules are in that particular state as to whether you can even go in. We're at such a different point. And really, we are thankful to have some semblance of normalcy.
Yeah. So, and I have to say, I love Thanksgiving. That is really my favorite holiday. I mean, really the obligation is to eat. That's really it. Cook. Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is, but it's going, we have to eat. There's nothing else to do. Relax, you know, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, I know. It's good. Well, I'm excited to talk about a movie that I have never heard of. I'm just being honest with you, but the actors in her, I have. So I'm always surprised with myself thinking like, these are pretty big hitters, good names. And yet never heard of them, Chris. I don't, have you heard of this movie?
Never heard. I mean, I know Michelle Pfeiffer. So of course,
love Michelle Pfeiffer. She's my favorite.
I know.
She's playing a mom here. I'm like, wow, we've gotten older. Michelle Pfeiffer,
right? But we're talking about the movie People Like Us. And this is this has Chris, like you said, Chris Pines, Michelle Pfeiffer as Chris Pine's mom, Olivia Wilde, and Elizabeth Banks as Frankie Harper. So interesting story, right, Chris? And it really brings to light a lot of those estate planning questions, you know, why maybe a will is not enough. So let's talk about it real quick. What happens here is Chris Pine is Sam Harper. He's a salesman in New York and, you know, not even me, I have to be honest, have no idea what he was doing. He's bartering goods and he's, you know, finding ways to get them cheap. I'm, you know, 5 cents on the dollar. Maybe it isn't. I'm not really sure how that all.
Yeah, the opening scene, I was just like, oh, that's another language. I don't know what you're saying, but you sound like you know what you're doing.
Exactly. But it was the kind of work that, you know, I mean, he was a good salesman, but somehow some of his deals didn't go through. And he was in a big financial bind. So when he finds out that he wasn't going to get some commission that he thought he would be getting to get him out of this bind, you know, he's freaking out a little bit, right? Then he finds out too that his father passes away. And apparently, looking back, he had a bad relationship with his father, and he was really not, he really didn't look forward to going back to LA where his family was, or where his mother, you know, and his father had lived, but he went anyway. And he finds out through his father's attorney that he actually has a half-sister. And he finds out that this half-sister has a child, and his late father had left a shaving kit with $150,000 in cash for this, you know, for this grandchild. And of course, he's like, I'm not going to give this to her. But, you know, he's not going to give this to the grandchild. That's crazy. Well, I need this. That's his answer. I need this. He ended up inheriting his dad's, like, record collection. His dad was some kind of music industry biz, you know, music industry whiz. And all he got was records. But this little boy gets $150,000. So he finds out who this little boy is. And he does a little bit of investigative work himself, only to find out this kid is pretty cool. And even better, his half-sister, who he manages to get to meet her, finds out that she is really awesome. And then she's also bothered by the fact that the father had severed ties with her. Well, he had the same experience with the father. So
was moving when she was in the AA meeting.
Yeah.
And she reads the obituary and said that the father leaves his wife and son. And I was like, oh, she wasn't even mentioned. So in one sense, he acknowledges son, but doesn't really, you know, leaves in the, you know, whatever, not the significant portion that he was expecting in his mind and where she wasn't even mentioned, but yet he did care for her son. It was so interesting, you know, all these mind games, even when you're dead, you're playing mind games.
I know. And it was so well done, I have to say, because you really get to see how Sam, Chris Pine's character, was really torn, because he wanted to just, you know, reach out to his sister and kind of say, no, he was really a jerk to me too, you know, and really wanted to kind of, you know, form that bond with her. But in the end, when he actually did, it was because I think she was starting to think that maybe he might be interested in her in a, like, you know, a different kind of relationship. She ended up having to kick him out because she felt so betrayed that here's this person who pretends to be some other person, but it turns out to be her brother, you know, from a family that, you know, that pretty much abandoned her. So she was, you know, torn, upset. And in the very end, what happened, it turned out to be good in the end.
Yeah.
But really, from an estate planner's perspective, what are we really talking about here? What does this really have to do with estate planning? Well, what happened was Sam Harper receives this shaving kit with $150,000 left for a child who he didn't even know who he was. And it took him, you know, a lot of searching really to find out who these people are, only to find out that his father had a relationship with somebody who had a child. It was, you know, the kind of estate planning maybe could have been established better with a trust. And I don't know, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, so we have this lawyer who appears and he seems like he knows everything about his client. Here we are. Here's a record collection. Here's a shaving kit. So you hope that he created a plan that was thorough, that said, I acknowledge I have these children, but I choose not to leave them. So I'm always curious about, did he tie up all the loose ends? Because I've had this years ago, had a client, his father died, and he called us and said, listen, can you help us probate the will? No problem. Got the will. Next thing you know, there was a caveat filed by a person, and it was someone out in California. So I asked my client, who is this? Why are they filing a caveat is a block, so that when I want to probate, you know, when I want to look at an estate and find out, pay the debts and make sure we distribute the balance to the heirs, that's the process. And it's called probate. Well, when someone files a caveat, that's blocking, meaning I can't do anything. Everything is frozen until we figure out what are the issues. So my client looked at the name, and it was a guy out in California, and he's trying to figure out, well, I don't know who this is. So my client called him and found out he is a son that nobody knew, and that he is looking for his share. So of course, it wasn't mentioned in the will. Didn't say I also have a son out in California that I choose not to leave to. So unfortunately, it did open up some questions. No one knew who he was, you know, although mom had an idea. Mom had divorced, so it was just dad. So she said that that was one of the reasons why divorce is because he had other relationships. So she was the one who confirmed that this is someone who's legitimate. So we ended up, you know, settling with this person, but it was startling, upsetting, and it delayed things. So it happens. It really does happen. So if you have an estate plan, and if you have children from other relationships, it's always important to mention it. And that's why you should have an attorney you're comfortable with. These aren't easy topics to talk about, but you know, I've always said to my clients, right, Chris, when we sit down, I want to help you, but I can only help you. The best way is by you telling me everything I should know, so I can give you some good advice. Because without that, you know, I'm kind of handcuffed. I'm kind of working with one hand behind my back and, you know, doing the best I can to make sure everything is okay. But when a bad thing happens, you know, then it's not good. So, you know, that's one of the things I was thinking about in this file, in this movie. Hopefully the attorney was thorough. I mean, we don't know what the will says. We have no idea, but it sounds like he wasn't, no one was given a copy, because he would have known, here's my brother, here's my sister. You know, she would have known too. She would have had a right to say, hey, can I have a copy of the will? But so that's something too to acknowledge. I agree, trust. That's another tool that could have been used where you could deal with a lot of things in private. And that's because a will is a public document. A trust is not. So if someone dies with a trust, everything, all the details in the trust is private for the most part. So only the people who need to know can read what's in it, and it's not displayed. It's not, you know, I can see that if you have a will and you want to probate it and you're taking like, and I have another child from another relationship, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it gets too deep and you don't want to go into all that. So a trust, I agree, Chris, would have been a something to contemplate, a good tool to use.
Exactly. And in this case too, I mean, it seems like, you know, based on what happened, you know, later in the story where Sam finds out that, you know, his father really, you know, he did have this relationship, obviously, but he wanted to sever ties, you know, on the behest of his wife, but it was, you know, he really wanted to keep everything private. And that's why the trust is so helpful in these situations. You know, there's no need to have, you know, certain things pop up for other people to find out later on. Create the trust, have your attorney, you know, have your attorney execute that trust when the time comes. If there's money set aside for somebody, it doesn't have to be in $100 bills, you know, wrapped
all
up
nice and rolled
a shaving
up
kit, you know. So there are definitely ways without having to do it the way they did it in the movie. So, you know, I always say invite, you know, it's best to invite people to talk, you know, to talk to us about those kind of options, as opposed to putting that burden on another family member to discover, oh, wow, yeah, I had a half sister all along, you know, maybe they didn't even have to know, with a trust established. But these are the things that kind of come out in these interesting movies that,
you know. And made for the drama, because wouldn't you just, if I'm the lawyer, I'm just going to contact the sister and say, here's the money. But, you know, but I guess it was his dramatic way in the plan, contact him and he'll contact the sister. And then like, yeah, okay, I get it. That, you know, I think if it was in my hands, I'd have been like, you don't really want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, if that was the case, there wouldn't be a movie, Chris. There wouldn't be a movie.
Exactly. I would have very boring movies. So everybody's, very boring movies, no excitement, no what ifs.
Exactly.
You know, a good question that sometimes people think about is that with the money, is there a tax implication, Chris, you know?
Right.
But in New Jersey, no inheritance tax, right?
Yes, exactly. No inheritance tax to children and grandchildren. There's no inheritance tax to stepchildren either. There's no inheritance tax to spouses. There's no inheritance tax to parents. Yeah.
And again, we just want to clarify, inheritance tax is a unique type of tax to New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you maybe one or two other states, but definitely not everybody, just New Jersey.
A few more.
And,
yeah, a few
and
more.
It's based upon who receives. And that's where the issue is. And where I do feel there's a, I've said it time and time again, there's a glitch, is that right, Chris? So if you're leaving your funds to spouses, children, stepchildren, no inheritance tax. But step grandchildren, there is. And I feel like, why not? I don't know. Why did they miss that? One more step.
I know.
It's a shame. It's a shame. But so yeah. That's a shame. So, you know, step grandchildren, unfortunately, there will be a tax involved. Was there an estate tax overall? Again, I don't know what state they're in, but in New Jersey, again, no. The answer would be no as of today. Is there a federal estate tax? I don't know. Again, I don't know how big his estate was, but federal estate tax right now, currently you can transfer up to 11. I'm just rounding numbers, 11 million to a spouse tax free.
Yeah.
So then, I don't know, maybe not. I don't think so. Or I don't know. Mm-hmm. I heard he was successful record producer or whatnot. So you never know, but those are interesting things to think about. And it was a fun movie. It was a fun movie, but I think I would hope to have something more private, like a trust or a will that's more specific. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have had, putting money in a case and give it to someone. people are dramatic, makes it fun, I guess, but it's a lot of what ifs, because a lot of times one of the main issues I've had too at probate are missing items. Hey, where's that piece of jewelry that I know my mom had? And if you're in charge of the estate, see the executor, you are supposed to take every precaution necessary to secure things. But what if you just didn't even know about it? No, that's not your fault. You're like, well, what bracelet? Do you have a photo of it? Do you have an inventory of it? So that's, hard on the executor, but you do have this executor have to show, what have you done to secure the property? Did you make sure that you visited a home? Did you maybe collect all the important jewelry and put it in one place, collect it right away? Or did you just leave it around and say, I'll get to it when I get to it? I don't know, so that's something you have to be aware of. That's why I'm always afraid of when cash is being transferred from one part to another. Who's keeping track?
Who knows what's really there? That's the whole thing. And, between the transfer from him to his sister, to his half sister, he didn't take another, $100,000 out of there, or even $50,000, whatever the case might be.
Yeah. What is to stop him at the time to say, Dad left you $50,000?
It was supposed to be $150,000. Oh, no, there was only $50,000. Not 150.
Yeah. Here's your 5,000. Yeah. I don't know. That would have been a more exciting movie. Sorry. Anyway. All right. So then now, talking about taxes, right, Chris, that brings us to, and this celebrity is someone I have brought up on my workshops, because he's a perfect example of not keeping up and updating plans, and perhaps maybe not being aware of implications of certain tax consequences that could devastate an estate. So we're going to be talking about James Gandolfini. So a lot of us probably know him from The Sopranos. And I'm going to let you know, I am probably the person who's never watched Sopranos. So nice to meet all of you who've watched it. I've never watched it. Maybe I've seen blips here and there. I've not. Have you watched it, Chris?
I've watched a few. I did. Yep. I wasn't like a big fan, but it was so good.
I've heard. Yeah. And now there's a new thing coming up. I don't know if it's a movie, but about a young James Gandolfini. The person he plays. And it's played by his son. And I heard it's great. I mean, that's what I read. But I don't think I'll appreciate it as much, because I wasn't dedicated to the show. So I would have to. So anyway, James Gandolfini died very young, 51, which is very sad. Mm-hmm. He left behind two children, a son who was 15 and a 6-month-old at the time. And when he died, and he was at second marriage, he was married to Deborah Lynn. And not only were his two children the beneficiaries of his estate, which was worth about $70 million, he also had two sisters along with his, second wife. And he also had a few friends that he was thinking of. So, the good thing is he did have a plan. He had an estate plan in place, which is really good. That's more than most celebrities have. My problem is that his plan in my head probably was either created by with simpleness in mind, not knowing what are tax implications. So perhaps, there are professionals who deal with certain types of estates. When you have a certain amount of assets, there's a plan for that. When you have more assets, there's a plan for that. And it's really important to meet up with professionals who are comfortable with a certain, with different types of assets that you may have. So when you have a very simple plan, problems will happen. I also think the second problem with James Gandolfini is maybe not updating. So perhaps it was created when he was still starting out as a struggling actor and didn't realize as he was accumulating wealth, he, I don't know, didn't realize that, you know, you should be updating things. So what it was looking at in his, I'm going to say it's simple will, he gave about $1.6 million to various friends and relatives, making provisions for his personal property, his house, land he had in Italy. Then he split the remainder of his assets among four people, 30% to two sisters, 20% to his wife, 20% to his daughter. His son received the proceeds of a life insurance policy. And so apparently that had no issue with regards to estate taxes. So I think where I see it, you know, again, as you remember earlier, if we're dealing with inheritance tax issues, he's leaving to two sisters.
Right
off the bat, we got a problem. So there's already an inheritance tax issue you're looking at. And again, just leaving certain percentages straight, no planning to a spouse, it really is a problem because there's tools out there that he could have taken advantage of. So I like how estate planning lawyer William Zabel, I don't think it was his attorney because he wouldn't say this, said that it was a catastrophe of how this was probated. 80% of his estate went to taxes. 80%. That's like just open up the window, just dump that money out. That's about it.
Might as well.
Right. So the problem is that there were certain techniques that he could have used to really help, you know, control the tax consequence. There were certain types of trust that perhaps wife could have used. There's techniques that we suggest to our clients, things called disclaimer trust. There's things where it's a flexible trust and a surviving spouse can choose, do I want to inherit everything or do I just want to inherit an earmark because there might be a tax consequence? It's a really great tool. But surviving wife Deborah did not have that luxury, which is a shame. Yep. Everything was just given to her outright, and that triggered a lot of problems. Same thing they're saying with the children. They're saying, he said that, you know, at age 21, they can inherit everything. And I think, you know, depending on how large your estate is, depending on your children, sometimes 21 is still too young. Mm-hmm. I've had clients be creative, Chris, where they'll say, well, how about we do it in the thirds? 25, 30, 35, that the, you know, yeah, but everybody's different. I've also had clients that say, nope, 21 is fine because I've seen my daughter or my son and they're so mature in the story. Everybody's different. That's it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I just really thought it was interesting. And then he had, you know, property in Italy. Yeah. So that's also something to take a look at. And apparently in Italian law, they're saying that his will saying that he wanted that property to go to son and daughter. But in Italy, you can't bypass wife. That is very similar, actually opposite of, say, France. In France, you must give to your kids. You have to mention the kids. But spouses are optional, which is so interesting. And America, well, New Jersey, right? Spouses, they have rights to receive. So you have to be aware of where, you know, if you have property in different states and different countries, what the laws are, very important to maybe reach out to counsel out there and just find out, this is my plan. Is that okay? You know, is there going to be a problem? That's all. And, you know, these extra steps are worth it because right now, unfortunately, we have a situation where he just 80% of his estate out the window, Chris. Wow.
Oh, what a waste. I mean, just because of taxes. And yes, that could happen to anybody, especially here in New Jersey, where there is that inheritance tax. Now, people say, I don't have a big enough estate to worry about it. But my question is, who are you giving it to? Right? If it's your husband, your wife, your children, fine. Maybe it's not something to, you know, worry about. Maybe trust planning is not something that you need. But if you have assets in other states, if you have, you know, or if you have significant assets, or if you want to just direct how that money is to be spent, as opposed to just giving it outright to your children. Maybe you have a child who has special needs. Maybe you have a child who has money issues. Certain things can be placed in your will or ultimately into a trust to make sure that the money doesn't go to waste. You've worked hard for this money all your life. Why just give it up? Why just give it away to somebody who might not be able to manage it or give it up to the government in the form of taxes? So that's why it's so important to talk to an attorney who knows these types of tools that can help you.
Yeah, for sure. Because again, you know, just asking the right questions, making sure that everything is covered, it doesn't hurt. But, you know, like I said, for the kids too, you know, they could have had a children's trust. They could have had a support trust. I mean, right now, you know, I still think they were really young to determine what kind of trust they would have, but at the very least having a type of trust that would be creative to be managed for them until they got to a certain age. That's very good. Can it be more elaborate? Can it be, you know, you can be more detailed saying, I want the money only to be used this, that, and the other thing. You could, you know, it depends. But sometimes when we have, when I have clients who come to us and they have kids who are very young, I think it's very hard to put those details when you don't know them yet. You're still getting to know them. They're still young. You don't know what their habits are and what's going on. And those are things that can be created, you know, down the line, but at least have something in place to begin with. I think that's huge to have. But yeah, so I just thought that was very interesting. But yeah, that is a person I often talk about when we have workshops to give an example of how, you know, either lack of planning or just having outdated planning or simple planning sometimes is really not good enough. It's a great start, but really you see the implications when you don't keep up with it. But anyway, so that was fun, Chris. I think that was good. Hopefully everybody got some good information and learned something, and also learned about a new movie with Chris Pine. Oh, I'm pretty sure I've seen all his movies. I can't believe I didn't see this. So that's pretty shocking to me.
I had no idea who he was, but I mean, he looked familiar, but I guess I'm just not a Trekkie.
Did you Star say Trek. And, you know, and, my husband liked him. He's in this one movie with a train and I can't remember the name of it, but he played really a good character there as well. So anyway, but it was fun. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to Law and Pop Culture. And we will see you again in our next episode. Thanks everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more, go to mattislaw.com.